In a foothills of sorrow, looking up from the valley of fear, you can see doubt off in the distance, and you're about to lose heart right here. Don't ever give in, don't ever give up, for God is with you, you'll overcome. Just try to remember all the trials he's brought you through, and with his power gave you strength for the journey, the very hour you needed it too. So don't be discouraged, time after time, God's never failed you, so go on and climb.
Amen. You tell your mountain just how big your God is. Yes. So good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. Let's go to him in a word of prayer. Brother Jack, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer tonight?
Our Father, Lord, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the message we heard this morning. Be what you have us to be. Do what you have us to do, Father. We took this past week and we went to study about Noah and his obedience to God. What the circumstances there. And it taught these children maybe to be obedient to it when they hear the voice of God to do the things, and it won't be wrong. He'll bless them. He'll bless all of us. Father, we ask you to bless the message tonight. Bless our pastors and bring another message to us. And if someone that don't know you to free pardon of sin, that tonight they'll make that decision to come unto you. Now again, bless the service, bless the singing. Let us sing with all our hearts, with all our voice. We thank you, Lord, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Church, would you stand? Join the choir tonight. Let's sing a song we haven't done in some time. Page number 199. Turn over to page 199 with me. Let's sing Where the Soul Never Dies.
Where all is gone.
seated as well. Again, it's so good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. What a great message this morning. Amen.
Amen.
It is good to have everyone back home safe and sound from the youth group. And it's good to have Brother Brian and Miss Melita back with us here tonight as well. I understand Brother Brian's preaching over in Bowden, I believe, this morning. Brother Brian, it's great to have you back with us here tonight. And we just praise the Lord for his goodness. Amen. This is Independence Week, and we celebrated that a little bit this morning, and choir will be singing a song again next Sunday about freedom. But we need my challenge to you this week as a church is take the opportunity to take the independence that you have in this country that we live and celebrate your freedom in Jesus this week.
Amen.
Amen. It is the greatest freedom that we have.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that we can still do that. Now, you may get some funny looks, but tell somebody about Jesus. That's the greatest honor that we have, the greatest freedom that we have. Celebrate him this week. Be thankful for the independence and the freedom that we still have to be able to do that. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. We'll have a fellowship immediately following the evening service. As Brother Snyder used to say, I know what it's like standing between you and food, so we're going to make this quick. Amen. But it is good to see you here tonight. And again, we had some visitors with us this morning. We got some new members here this morning. We're thankful for three new members. Brother Ben's back here with us tonight. It's great to see you back. And we're very thankful for what the Lord's doing here at Calvary. Amen. Very thankful for that. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Remember all the prayer requests that have been given. We have very, very much to pray about. Some folks going through some very difficult times. So let's remember all of them in prayer tonight. Remember Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Bible study and prayer meeting. And if you can be here on Wednesday evenings, I know that's a great blessing. Some can't due to work situations and things such as that. That's understandable. But if you can be here, it's a great time of strengthening you for the week. And for those that can't be here, just please pray and that the Lord just continue to be with our church. Father, we love you. Lord, we come praising you and thanking you tonight that the doors are able to be opened on a Sunday evening. Lord, we realize that many churches, Lord, in America today, you know, they don't choose to open the doors on Sunday evenings. We are thankful to be able to come here at Calvary, Lord, to hear the gospel tonight of our Lord and Savior. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that opportunity and pray that you'll be with our pastor tonight. Touch him. Lord, speak through him, Lord, that we need to hear. Lord, may our hearts and our minds be open to receive your word. And Lord, we don't take that lightly. Lord, we are so thankful for the country in which we live and thankful for the freedom that we have to be able to continue to join in churches all across America. Lord, thank you for what you have so graciously blessed us with. Lord God, continue to bless America. Lord, thank you for the country that we have. And Lord, tonight I pray that you would touch us. Lord, you know exactly what we need. Here's a church, and Lord, as individuals. And Lord, you know the prayer requests that have been given. Lord, there have been many here today. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with each one. Some are going through some very difficult times. Lord, some have lost loved ones to death over the past week or so. And Lord, we pray that you would touch them, strengthen them, give them, Lord, that peace that does pass all understanding. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us here tonight. Again, be with our pastor. Lord, I pray that you touch the offering now, Lord, both the gift and the giver. Lord, be in our time of fellowship tonight. Lord, let us such a strength to the church as, Lord, we just gather together. Lord, I pray again that you just be with us, Lord, this gathering here tonight. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for, Lord, for the number that came to join the church this morning. Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. Continue to have your hand upon Calvary, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. Then I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, faith taking hold of the word. My fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe more. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In my Jesus I'm safe evermore. In Jesus I'm safe
Did we mention there's eats and treats to follow the service? So we want to get busy here. It's been a good day to be in the Lord's house, as it is every time we have opportunity. And we appreciate everyone today and appreciate the three that joined this morning. And we're convinced and are convinced, and appreciate the church loving on them as we were on our way out. Let me say this before we get started, that we have, the past couple of weeks, have had many missionaries contact me, come through. In fact, there's two or three more that I'm needing to give a call back to, missionaries that we support. And this past Wednesday night, Brother Johan Jamalamudi, missionary to India, was with us, and he came through and gave an update. And this coming up Wednesday, David Velasquez is going to be with us, missionary from Spain. Of course, his dad and his mother, they're also missionaries there in Spain. And Brother David and I have been coordinating, and it's just been missionary moment. And so we love missionaries. I mean, that is the Great Commission, to go out to all the world and preach the gospel. And in fact, I'm needing to get a hold of Brother Friedware, Brother Ceylon's brother-in-law. We've been playing phone tag, and another missionary, and Michael Raines, missionary to Africa. He was supposed to be here with us at the end of July. We're going to be out of town, so pray for our missionaries. Pray for missionaries, that they be safe out there and get the gospel out. Appreciate Don and Carla and what they do as well. Just wanted to mention that. Let's take our Bibles this evening. It's not this morning anymore. Turn to the book of John, chapter number 21. John 21. And there's something that I just couldn't get away from. And I'm not trying to sound mystical or super spiritual in the sense of things coming at you, but I know when God speaks to me, and there's something that he wants me to share in John chapter number 21 this evening. We've preached and we've taught out of John 21 several times, and my time in the ministry, we have preached and taught out of John 21 several times, but there's something different here tonight that I want to share with you, just a different angle, same scripture. My prayer is that we will allow the Lord to speak to us and just really embrace what the Scriptures say in the style he wants us to bring it tonight. Let's pray, and then we're going to do some summarization, and then we're going to read from verse number 4. John 21, verse 4, in just a moment. Father God, we come one more time in Jesus' name, and Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful, Lord, for the things you've done this morning, Lord, and what a pleasant sight it was to see our new members lined up, and even the two missionaries that were in service with us this morning to the Philippines, Lord. The family that was with the Destinies, Lord, Father, it was just a blessing to see things move and to see God working in a very mighty way. And Lord, tonight we pray just for a few moments that you would meet with us, energize us, Lord, touch us physically, touch us spiritually. I know you have something here, and help us, Lord, to just get out of the way so that you can communicate it to the hearts of your people. We'll praise you and we'll thank you for everything that you have done, are doing, and going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Book of John, chapter number 21, we know that this is the third appearance of Jesus after the resurrection. It says so in verse number 14. And this time, Jesus is showing himself in a little different manner. If you notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself, or after this manner. So this is his third time showing himself to his disciples on this specific certain occasion. We know the setting here. The setting is the disciples in the ship, in a boat, and they were going fishing. We know that Jesus was on the shore. And there was a few questions, or at least there were three sets of words that were asked to these disciples while Jesus was on the shore. And tonight I want to look at those three sets of words that Jesus was communicating with his disciples. Now, there's a couple different viewpoints as to why the disciples were fishing, why Peter said, "I go a-fishing," in verse number 3. One viewpoint has to do with the disciples not being idle, and they were being busy doing something, and they went back to fishing during the time before Jesus commissioned them to go and preach the gospel. And then there's another viewpoint that it was Peter in like a frantic state, maybe a state of despair, that after he denied the Lord, and of course when Jesus said, "Go and tell my disciples and Peter," there's that viewpoint where Peter is now going back to the old life, or he's at least leaning upon his old occupation. And a couple different viewpoints, but at any rate, Peter is going fishing. Look in verse number 3. "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes." We'll kind of summarize going down through here, but verse number 7 and 8, 9, all the way down through verse number 11, we know they had the great multitude of fishes in the net, and they made their way to the shore. Jesus said in verse number 12, "Come and dine." Tonight I want to share some things, and I want to bring a message entitled, "Fresh Words on Old Paths." Fresh words on old paths. Now, whether Simon was leaning on an old occupation, and no doubt he was, but the motive, we're really not sure. One or two things. Again, it could have been the not being idle, or it could have been a time of despair and discouragement. But he was on an old path, and Jesus had some fresh words for him. Not only fresh words for him, but all that were around him. And if I had to give an intent for the message tonight, it's just simply this, that whatever path we're on, Jesus has fresh words for us. We can look at a verse in the Bible, and it can read one way to us in our entire life, but then when God touches it, he gives fresh words. It doesn't change the context of the verse, but just hits us a little different and energizes our spirit. But no doubt they're fishing. And this is an old path they were on, an old occupation, and yet Jesus shows up and gives fresh words. I don't know about you tonight, but I need fresh words. I need wonderful words of life. I need energizing words. I need direction from God that tells me what he wants me to do. You need fresh words tonight. The words we shared this morning were fresh then, but now we need fresher words. And so let's see what we may glean from the scriptures tonight. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5, when it comes to these fresh words on old paths, we see his question. Jesus had a question. Notice, if you would, in verse 5, the Bible says, "Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And so his fresh words to them on their old path had to do with a question. Now, I want you to notice that this question resolved around their old occupation. And when the subject of children, have ye any meat, started to linger in their hearts, when they were asked it, it allowed them to reflect back on the night before. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately." And notice this. "In that night, they caught nothing. And so Jesus shows up and he asks this question that resolves or is resolved around their old fishing occupation. And they say, how did it go last night, kids? That old trade, that old fishing occupation. You were out all night fishing and here it is sunrise. I want to ask you, how are things going? How did things go last night when you were doing what you used to do? Casting those nets and hoping and wishing for a catch every time you reel it in. Now, if you notice in verse number 4, the Bible says, but when the morning was now come. If you follow these fishermen, or at least during that time frame in Bible days, that historically you'll find that there were at least three different things they did with their nets. Number one, they cleaned their nets. They rinsed their nets and washed out all the debris from their nets. They cleaned their nets. And also they repaired their nets. Another place, one of the Gospels says that the disciples were mending their nets. But then they were casting their nets. And so in your mind's eye, you can sit here and imagine and think that they were out all night and now it's morning time. And possibly they had washed their nets. And possibly they had mended their nets. And now, at least in my way of thinking, they're going in, hanging it up for the night. But then Jesus asked this fresh question on their old path. Do you have any productivity? What's going on this path? He says, children, have ye any meat? Now when he asked this question, it calls self-examination because naturally they had to think, well, do we? Is there any fish in the bucket? And that would bring their minds back to the night before where they were thinking, well, it wasn't no catches, a lot of casting nets, a lot of work, a lot of reeling, no productivity. Jesus, we have nothing. I wonder sometimes in life, no matter what path we're on, but maybe it's on the old path this morning, this evening. Maybe we're on an old path that we haven't been on in a while, and we're working and we're struggling. But I want to ask all of us a question, starting here and going out to your way. How are things going on that old path? Is there any productivity on that old path? You see, the Lord has a way of causing self-examination if you belong to Him. We follow the Lord and we do our best to follow Him and hear His words and be a blessing and share the gospel. But then there's some times where we get on old paths, where we allow things to creep into our life, or possibly we're on a new path. The question still remains the same. Children, have ye any meat? Any productivity on this path you're on? How's it going tonight? That's the question. How are things going for you tonight on the path you're on? Jesus asked this fresh question, this fresh word while they were on their old path. And so they could not help but to bring into the equation, to their thought pattern, well, the night before wasn't good. It was darkness. It was no fish. Washing nets, mending nets, putting up nets. And now you're asking this question. But I want you to notice what their answer was. Their answer was no. Their answer was no. Tonight, if we want the Lord to help us, if I want God to help me, honesty is the best policy. Just be honest. Lord, the path that I'm on is not the path I want to be on, and no, I'm not productive on this path. No, things aren't going the way they should go on this path. Or maybe you're on a new path, and there's no productivity. Well, ask the Lord, Lord, I know you want me on this path. Can you help me on this path? Which leads me to my next observation. Now, this question resolved around their old fishing occupation. This question caused self-examination. But at the same time, this question proved that they were trying. It proved that they were trying. if they weren't trying to fish, if they weren't working, Jesus would have never asked them, have ye any meat? Jesus knows it all. He's a know-it-all. Okay? He has those divine attributes because he's God. And he would have known if they weren't even trying. He wouldn't have asked the question. And so we can actually be encouraged off this first point, I believe, in this question, because the fact remains, they were trying. You're here tonight and you are doing what you feel God has called you to do. There's possibly not a lot of fruit at this particular time. I mean, we read, we pray, we go to church, and sometimes it appears there's no catch. We assume our responsibilities. We go to work and we raise our kids and we try to stay positive and be a positive member of society. And sometimes it appears that there's nothing happening. But guess what? At least you're trying. They were trying. They had fished all night. God sees that we're trying tonight. And the flowers, by the way, don't always bloom in May. Which means stay at it. Which means stay connected. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Listen, they were trying. If there's anything I've learned in ministry, more now than ever, it's keep on trying. Keep on going after it. If God has called you to do something, if he has lined up your path with a certain job in the secular world or going to a certain school or college, listen, there is the newness of it. Then there's the trial of it. But if God has called you to do it, then keep on trying even if nothing shows in the beginning, because flowers don't always bloom in May. Things happen over a period of time. They were on old paths, fresh words, and the first words were a question, and he said, children, have ye any meat? And the answer, no. And it may be tonight that some of us may need to just be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, no, I know you placed me on this path, and all I'm doing is toiling and laboring, and Lord, there's no productivity. There's nothing coming. Lord, please show me, reaffirm you want me on this path. Again, it may be other cases on an old path where it's not the best place for us to be. And so we see tonight that these fresh words on old paths have to do with a question. But number two, fresh words on old paths have to do with instruction as well. Look in verse number 6. Of course, this is after he asked them about the meat and the fish. They answered him, no. But verse 6, he goes a step further and he gives some instruction. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. This second set of fresh words has to do with instruction. And now Jesus is working these disciples to a decision. And this is how Jesus works. He shows on the scene and he asks the question, how are things going in your life today? And then it causes for self-examination, and then he lays on us the instruction. And the instruction is simply this, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. Wait a minute. We just got through fishing all night long. We have taken nothing. And I don't know, maybe they have already washed and cleaned and mended their nets, and it's morning time, they were getting ready to, I don't know, but nonetheless, these were experienced fishermen. And now they are leaning back on their old trade for whatever reason. And Jesus is saying, and at this point they knew not it was Jesus. This voice from the shore said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. this was a challenge to their ego and their life experience. Do you know one thing that God challenges in our life on a day-to-day basis is our ego and our experience? Because we can do 1,001 things one way so many times, and we know the drill. We know the preparation time. We know the outcome. We know the statistics. We know it may go this way or that way, but we'll be okay. We know that. But then when the Lord gives fresh words on old paths, when the Lord gives fresh words off the pages of His book, He has a way of bringing us to this intersection where pride intersects with faith. The question is tonight, whatever path you're on, it may be a new path, it may be an old path, whatever path it may be, the Lord brings us to intersections on our path, but we just have to believe. Do you believe tonight? Of course we do. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and His plan of salvation is the first step. But then there's the journey of belief. There's different levels of faith. There's different levels of belief. And the Lord, many times, He allows us to venture and He instructs us on different paths and where there's no faith. Then He gives experience that it may produce faith, stronger faith. And then we're on that path for a while in another intersection that where pride and ego and experience rears its head. And we're at this intersection of pride and faith once again. You know what Peter says about the trial of our faith? He says it's much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Everybody isn't initially tried with fire when they get saved. Some are, some are not. But there's times where the Lord seems fit for us to be at intersections where our faith is tried by fire. Where we look at a situation and we say, Lord, it's not going to work. Lord, we have tried to make it work, and Lord, it just don't fit. It's a triangle going into a square hole, a circular hole. It's just not going to happen, Lord. I know. This isn't my first time dealing with this, Lord. It's not going to work. It's over. But there's only one problem with that. If God has called us somewhere, there's a discrepancy. Because many times the natural eye and the natural man with the natural spirit will look at life situations and say, this don't make sense. I'm on this path and there's this intersection and I know God put me on this path, but there's no way that this door is going to open. There's no way that the sky is going to give rain. It's just not going to happen. But guess what? When there's fresh words, doesn't matter what path you're on. If Jesus says, cast the net on the right side, if Jesus says, keep on going, though it looks bleak and it looks grim, keep on going. It's fresh words. We need fresh words tonight. So these disciples, they were in the ocean, they were in the sea there, and they were fishing and didn't catch anything. And because of Jesus' fresh words, He asked them this question. They said, no, now the instruction. Wait a minute, my ego and my experience, Lord. Well, we see in the rest of verse number 6 that they were obedient. The Bible says they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself in the sea. And the other disciples came in, a little ship. They were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the nets with fishes. That is tried faith. That's not weak faith. That's tried faith. That the situation was bleak, and they felt weak, but This was faith that had been experienced, and they put forth the faith they had in the words they heard. And they were dragging a great multitude of fishes, the Bible says. So we see his instruction. I want to say tonight, on whatever path we're on, God is given instruction. And he gives us fresh instruction. And when he speaks to us, doesn't matter what the situation is. Doesn't matter how much we know how to do something. When God speaks, then it's our job to follow. That's why it's so important to stay in tune with the Lord. Let me mention another thing. Not only these fresh words on old paths have to do with a question, have to do with an instruction, but then has to do with an invitation. As the Lord does, he gives a question to all of his children, how's things going? And then he instructs us, and then there's the invitation to follow through. Look in verse number 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. They knew it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now when they had dined, I want you to notice, first of all, concerning this invitation, it was a physical invitation. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith, let me back up. Verse number 12 again, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This invitation was physical, but then it was spiritual. Jesus took care of the stomach growlings. He took care of the belly. And when they were all filled and satisfied, then came the spiritual part. Now look in verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. This invitation was physical. He fed the men, but then it was spiritual. The Lord worked down into the recesses of Simon's heart. It also became emotional. Look again in verse number 15. We see that Jesus calls Peter Simon. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He's referring to his before salvation name. Peter is, in the Greek, is Petros, or Petra, meaning little rock. And Peter, after his conversion, the Lord said, your name is now Peter. And upon this rock, speaking of Jesus, the big rock, you're Peter, upon this rock, upon me, Peter, I'll build my church. But he refers to Peter not as Peter, but as Simon. And so he's speaking to that aspect of Simon where he had denied him for three times. If you remember, Simon said, Lord, when all men forsake thee, I will be with thee. And so when Jesus had fed them physically and that sufficed their inward cravings, now he's speaking concerning spiritual things and he calls him Simon. He's speaking to the disciple that Simon has recently displayed. The Simon that was hypocritical. The Simon that said he would follow the Lord, but didn't follow the Lord. He actually denied him three times. Many times when Jesus gives invitations, it deals with the spiritual. In fact, it is the spiritual. It's the primary. Many times Jesus, he deals with where we're at and on what path we're on. And Simon was on that path. Again, some believe that they were spending their time wisely fishing. Others believe that Simon was trying to work out some things within himself. He went out and wept bitterly, and the Lord was not at the tomb. And so now Simon is sitting here being called Simon, who was Peter. He was the rock. And now Jesus is speaking to him, and that's what the Lord does with his fresh words. He meets us where we're at, and he speaks to us as we are. Jesus calls Peter Simon. But then I want you to notice in verse 17, Jesus convicts Peter. He convicts Peter. We see Peter changed in the form of being called Simon rather than Peter. And then Peter convicted. Look at verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The Bible says Peter was grieved. Peter was sad. Why is the Lord asking me, do I love him when he really knows? Well, let's ask Jesus. Jesus, what do you really know? Well, in this occasion, this is another great turning point for Peter. And this is where Peter is strengthened and he goes to feed the sheep of God. But he's convicted. Peter was grieved. He was convicted because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? You know, what we say with our lips is one thing, but the Lord knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. In the great invitations of Jesus in the New Testament, in Jehovah in the Old Testament, there's always conviction there. Conviction. That's how we're saved, is by being convicted that we're sinners and we're going to hell apart from Jesus. Mediating work, and we accept him, but then we're on our journey and we're living for God, and sometimes we're on the right path, sometimes we're on old path or wrong path, but then there's this invitation with the Lord with his fresh words, and he says, do you love me? And he asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter was grieved. I believe Peter was really grieved because, yes, Peter loved the Lord. But Peter knew he didn't always hit the target. We don't always hit the target of perfect servitude. I wish I could say tonight that I always hit the target. But man, sometimes God has to say, get up, boy, come on. Sit yourself up and get in the Word and, you know, do these things. You know, it shouldn't be like that. But the truth of the matter is, none of us serve with perfect servitude. Peter was going to be used greatly. Peter was already used greatly, but in a much bigger capacity. But here he was convicted at the invitation. Lastly, I'll say this and we'll be through. This invitation, these fresh words, come and dine. Jesus filled him physically. Now he's dealing with the spiritual aspect. It's physical, it's spiritual, it's emotional. He calls Peter Simon. He continues to ask him three different times, do you love me? This convicted Peter. Peter had Jesus' fingerprint upon an area in his life that needs to be repented of and turned over. But then lastly, we see Jesus constrains Peter. Look back in verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, notice these next words, feed my lambs. Look at verse 16, the last three words, feed my lambs. Verse number 17, feed my sheep. Or I'm sorry, 16, feed my sheep. 17, feed my sheep. Look at verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Look at verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter asked the Lord about his relationship in John, with John versus his relationship with Peter. Look at verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved. Look at this. Following. You didn't have to tell John what to do most of the time. But Peter was one. Peter, come on. Peter, follow me. Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed the lambs. Peter, follow. Come on, Peter. Come on, Peter. John was right there. He wasn't perfect. But John was following. You see, in this come and dine situation, this great invitation here, it was physical, but it was also spiritual and emotional. I believe this was a true encounter with God. Peter knew where he failed the Lord. The Lord put his finger on it. And he also told Peter, feed my sheep, follow me. And I wonder if there was a part of Peter in his thought process, well, man, I brought up John, and John's already following Peter, and God's having to tell me, Lord's having to tell me time and time, follow me, follow me, follow me. But you know what? Sometimes in life, I'm sure we're like John, but other times, probably more than John, we're Peter. Follow me, okay, Lord, okay, Lord. Listen, fresh words, invitation time. The Lord knows his own, and he gives these words on old paths. My prayer is tonight is that we just allow God to speak to us whatever path we're on, and just be honest. Things are going well. Things aren't going well, Lord. Be honest. He has a question. Have you any meat? His instruction. Follow his instruction. We'll be blessed. And then at the invitation, just do business with the Lord, however he seems fit. Father God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, Lord, and what you do. Tonight I pray that if anyone needs to come, that they would do business with you, Lord, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet.